Heavenly Father, on this
Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness and your love. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who have been among us and have now gone home. We pray that you would give us a fond remembrance of the days and hours and months and years we shared with them. We pray that you would help us that we might so live that we could look forward to the day when we'll all be reunited around your throne. Be with those who have served our country in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard. We thank you, Lord, for their service. We thank you for the opportunity we have to give honor and respect to them. We pray now that you would meet with us in these moments together. Lift our hearts, fill us to overflowing with your loving care, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I invite you to stand with me now as we sing Forward Through the Ages. Now that may sound like a new song to you, but I promise you know the tune to it. It's the same as Onward Christian Soldiers. And let's stand together as we sing.
Forward through the ages in unbroken line, move the faithful spirits at the call divine. Gifts in differing measures, hearts so on accord, manifold the
I invite you now to join with us for our litany, honoring those who served. Dear God of peace and creator of all that is good, we give you thanks.
We give thanks and praise for all those who are willing to serve.
For those in the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard.
For those serving in the Army and the Marines.
For our men and women who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice.
For those who have family, friends, loved ones, and careers.
To ensure that in our world there could be an added measure
of hope,
freedom, peace, and equality.
We thank you for each one who left to serve and did not return.
For the price they pay, for freedoms and blessings we enjoy.
We remember the words of your Son, who also gave his life.
Greater love has no one than to lay down their life for others.
We thank you for those who left to serve and did return.
Many came home with physical and emotional scars.
Scars we may not see, but which they will bear the rest of their lives.
We pray your healing touch may rest upon each of them.
We thank you for those who are serving today.
Serving faithfully on every continent and ocean.
On bases across our nation and around the world.
Thank you for their commitment. Keep them safe.
Forgive us for what we have done to your perfect creation.
Forgive us for what we have done to our brothers and sisters.
Guide and direct all those in leadership over our military today.
May they seek peace in a world with liberty and justice for all.
Remind us, too, that we are called to serve, to give our lives for others.
We are called to fight evil, injustice, and hopelessness.
And commissioned for the eternal cause of building God's kingdom.
May we hear you say, well done, good and faithful soldiers.
Glory be to the Father.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share?
Go ahead.
Kathy?
I have a joy that Nancy is back with us today.
Thank yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And also, Mr. and Mrs. Parker, back there, Parker McCullough, are here with us.
Wonderful. Glad to have you folks with us.
I'd like for you to remember Anne, my daughter. She had to go emergency room this morning passing a kidney stone, and then there they were also started treating her for a cough that is it's a pulmonary issue and kind of bad. Her O2 was about 68%, so they weren't real happy. So she's got two doctor appointments coming this week, so please keep her in your prayers.
Okay, and how's Alice doing?
She's still there. Keep her in your prayers. We go up and down every day. Every day seems like there's a new challenge every day.
And how's your dad doing?
Oh, he's doing well. For 89, he traveled in Knoxville yesterday, so he's doing well right now.
Great. Okay, thank you. Yes, all right. Thank you. Any others? As we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I invite you to join with us as we share together in the prayer of confession and pardon. Do we have that on the screen, Keith? There we are. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the beauty of your creation around us, for this very special time of the year, for this transition in your creation that reminds us of the transitions in our own lives. We see our children and youth, Lord, as they seem to be in the springtime of life. We see our young adults in the summertime. And then, Lord, somehow it seems like almost overnight we transition into the autumn of our lives and then into the wintertime. But remind us, Lord, that wintertime is not the end, but it's just a precursor to spring. And in that same way in our lives, Lord, as we go through the fall seasons and as we go through the wintertime of life, remind us that we can look forward to an eternal spring where there will be no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. There will be a time, Lord, of brand new, full and free eternal life. A time when we will be united with all of those of our loved ones whom we recognize today who have gone on before us. Oh, we just separated for a little while. We'll be back together around your throne. We thank you, Lord, today that we can celebrate those who made the commitment to serve their nation in the military. We pray that you would be with our troops everywhere today, Lord. Be with our men and women across the globe. Oh, this time of the year is especially difficult to be away from family and friends, away from holiday traditions. We pray that you would be with them, keep them safe, be with their families today, Lord, comfort and strengthen them. We pray today that you'd be with our leaders. Give them wisdom and discernment, Lord, guide them and direct them in the way that you would have them to go. May it not be a matter of power or politics or money. May it be a matter of doing the job that God has called them to do. Thank you, Lord. We pray today that you would be with all of those who are going through physical difficulties, health issues, aging issues, relationship issues, financial issues, emotional issues, so many things, Lord, that plague us in the here and now. We pray that your healing touch would be upon them. We pray that you would remind us of the opportunity that we have to be in ministry to them. Thank you, Lord, for your call and for your claim upon our lives. Help us that we might do your work and do your will. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to take a moment now to honor our veterans. Those of you who have served in the military, I'd like to invite you to come forward that we might have a special moment of prayer for you, recognize you for your service, for what you've done. First of all, those who have served in the United States Army, could I get you to come down? The United States Navy. The United States Air Force. United States Marines. United States Coast Guard. Gentlemen, I realize that many of you have many stories you could tell And probably many of you have stories you really wouldn't care to tell. But we want you to know that we honor you. We respect the commitment that you've given. I'd like to take a moment to pray God's blessing upon you for your service. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would infill and indwell each of these men here. These men that took time away from family and friends. These men that committed themselves to give their all. We thank you, Lord, that they came back home safe to us. We realize there are many, many, many others who did not. We just pray now that you would fill them to overflowing with your loving grace. We thank you again, Lord, for their service. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Do you have friends and loved ones who served who aren't here today? Oh, they're probably somewhere here today, but not here at Rockwood United Methodist Church. You want to share their name and their area of service? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Vietnam veteran. Thank you. Six brothers. Oh my goodness. Three brothers. Thank you. Thank you. Teresa? Thank you.
My dad was in the Air Force, and then my husband was in the Army. And my grandfather was way back there in the war, and my uncle served in the Navy.
Thank you. Karen? Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay, we've got, let me see, my brother Richard was in the Air Force for 20 years. My brother Bob was in the Navy. Our daughter Angela was in the Army. Our daughter Rebecca is back in the Air Force. She's been in about 12 years now. Our grandson Shane is a drone pilot. At least he says that's what he's doing out in Las Vegas. But anyway, you see the representation we've got here in the military service, and we need to be proud of that. For those of you who served and those of you who had family that served in Vietnam, I don't ever encounter someone who's got on a hat that says Vietnam veteran or whatever that I don't feel like I have to go to and apologize for the way they were treated when they came home. Somehow that just didn't work out the way it's supposed to. And those men and women that served over there, I don't know too many of them said, oh yeah, I want to go to Vietnam. But they were willing to do what they were assigned to do. And it was not an easy service over there. And it was even worse when they came back home. And to you men and women, you have my respect and my admiration for the commitment that you made and for what you went through. We need to remember all of those. Thank you. Ushers, would you please come? While they are coming, let's take a moment to remember those of our church family who, in the past year, have gone home. I hope the list is complete. Bobby Meadows, Mary Helen Cox, Margie Hood Griffiths, William Brian Hood, Claude Wagner, Mary Jo Hood, Mindy Cox, Wilburn Ronald Ray, Priscilla Teague. Heavenly Father, on this All Saints Sunday, we thank you for these. For these who are no longer with us here, but now who are with you there. Remind us, Lord, that it's not the end, it's the threshold of a new beginning. May we look forward to the day when we'll all be together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated.
There are two scripture readings this morning. I'll be reading the first one only. It comes from James, the first chapter of James, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything.
In looking at what the choir could sing this morning, All Saints Sunday, Veterans Sunday, just a few short weeks before Thanksgiving, I got to thinking about it, and over 50 years ago, I performed my first funeral. And after the funeral and after the graveside service, the family said, now we're going to be meeting at so-and-so's house for dinner. We'd love to have you come. So I went, and as a new pastor in my early 20s, I was kind of surprised when I got to the house that all of these people that had just lost one of their loved ones were standing around laughing and talking and having a good time. And since I've realized that this is a good analogy of the Christian life, because we go through all of the trials and all of the troubles and all of the suffering, but the time is coming when we'll all gather around the table and we'll be able to share all of the wonderful memories together and all of the joys and all of this other stuff will be behind us. Our loved ones who have gone on, many of us are still grieving that loss. The day's coming when we'll be reunited around the table with them. Our loved ones who served in the military, many of whom are no longer with us, the day's coming when we'll have the opportunity to join around the Lord's table and celebrate with them, just as we're going to do here as a family of God in just a few moments. So the song that the choir is doing this morning is an old gospel song that reminds us that the call is coming someday for all of us to gather in again, because it's supper time.
Till evening shadows come, then
Oh, we're going home at last. There's a little bit of a glitch in the worship folder. We're not going to eat till I'm done preaching. We will come to the Lord's table in just a few moments. During the course of the message, I'll be sharing with you from Daniel chapter 3. It's a story that we've heard since we were children in Sunday school about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember it. A while back, I read a story about Mrs. Monroe. She was a mother of 8 children, and she lived in Darlington, Maryland. Now, when you've got 8 children in the family, there are bound to be some interesting experiences. One of those experiences was so unique that John Haggai put it in his book, How to Win Over Worry. It seems that one day Ms. Monroe came home from the grocery store, walked in the front door, and it was quiet. Now, if you've got 8 children at home, it's probably not going to be quiet very often. But this day it was, and she walked into the living room to see what was going on. In the living room, 5 of her children were sitting very quietly in a circle. She put down the groceries, walked over to see what was going on, and found that those 5 children were playing with 5 beautiful, cute, fuzzy, cuddly baby skunks. She was instantly terrified. She said, "Run, children, run!" Each child grabbed a skunk and ran in 5 different directions. She screamed even louder and more frantically, and it scared the children so much that each one of them squeezed their skunk. And the writer shared the knowledge with us that skunks do not like to be squeezed. Now, over the years, I've become aware that church members don't like to be squeezed either. Now, mind you, it's not that I'm comparing church members to skunks. Not all of them, anyway. We won't get into that. But anyway, too often, all of us feel like the church is trying to squeeze more time and more money out of us. The difference in all of this is our attitude. If you and I are talking about our time and our resources, then it can and often does feel like we are being squeezed. On the other hand, if we've come to that place in our faith journey where we acknowledge that all that we are and all that we have belongs to God, it looks completely different. As members of God's church, we have promised to be faithful with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We need to realize that we don't give God tithes and offerings because they're already His. Instead, we are returning them. God has entrusted us with time, with talents, with resources. We're the stewards, we're the caretakers of these things that God has given to us. And we are acknowledging God's ownership and our responsibility as overseers. Very often when life puts a squeeze on us, we tend to look for the easiest way out. We want to be our own gods. We want to make our own decisions. We want to bow to the images of pleasure, power, possessions, and personal opinion. Situations often arise that require you and me to take a stand for the principles of God's word regarding the consequences, regardless of the consequences. For children of God, obedience is not an option, it's a necessity. Now, Daniel tells us about these three young men who faced this dilemma some 2,500 years ago. First of all, we need to notice the occasion. I'm not going to read all 30 verses of Daniel chapter 3, but basically what happened was that King Nebuchadnezzar built a gold statue 90 feet tall of himself, 9 feet wide, set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. It says he sent out messages to the princes, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the counselors, the judges, the magistrates, and all of the provincial officers to come to the dedication of the statue. When everybody had arrived and were standing before the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, it tells us then that a herald shouted out to them and said, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and other instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue." And of course, the consequence was if you didn't, anybody who did not obey would be thrown into the furnace. So, here we have it. 90-foot tall statue, 9 feet wide, gold, at least gold-plated, gold-coated, something. They didn't have plastic then, so maybe it was gold. The order was, when the music played, you get down, you bow to the statue. But we read on in the scripture, and it tells us there were three offenders. The music started playing, and everybody bowed, except for three young men over here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then, of course, in a situation like this, where you've got all of these powerful people who want to get in good with the king, it says, some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to the king, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue. The decree said those who refuse will be thrown in the furnace." And there are three who didn't bow down. King, these three didn't do it. Hey, you've seen it happen before. So they brought the three Hebrew children before King Nebuchadnezzar. And then we see that there was anger there. Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought before him. When they were brought in, he asked them, "Is it true? You refuse to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance. You bow down and worship the statue, everything's fine. If you don't, nobody will be able to rescue you from my power." Now, what a dilemma for these three young Hebrews in this situation here. They could have come up with some really good-sounding excuses. They could have said, "Well, we'll bow down, but we won't actually worship the statue." They could have said, "We won't become idol worshipers, but we'll worship it this one time and then ask God to forgive us." They could have said, "Well, the king has absolute power, so we have to obey him. God will understand. Or the king appointed us to these high positions, so we owe this to him." They could have said, "Well, this is a foreign land, so God will excuse us for following the customs of the land." Well, let me see now. Our ancestors set up idols in the temple, and this isn't as bad as that was. They could have said, "We're not hurting anybody." However, they could have said, "Well, now, if we get ourselves killed, some pagans will take our high positions, and they won't help our people who are in exile." All of these excuses 2,500 years ago, like all of our excuses today, are just rationalizations. Never again would these three be able to talk about the power of their God above all the other gods. Aren't you glad that we don't make up excuses today for not serving God the way we're called to? for not doing what God wants you and me to do for his kingdom? We notice also in this situation that there was allegiance. These three replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Now, you remember what happened then. That did not ingratiate them at all with the king. He commanded the furnace to be heated up 7 times as hot as normal. I bet the outside of that furnace was glowing. The scripture tells us that the guards that took the three to throw them into the furnace, the guards were killed because that fire was so hot. I like beginning at verse 24, chapter 3 of Daniel. But suddenly as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, they said, we did indeed, your majesty. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound and walking around in the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the fourth looks like a divine being. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. What a change in attitude. Come out. Come here. So they did. They stepped out of the fire. The princes, the prefects, the governors, the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Have you ever noticed when you go camping, or even if you just got a fire out in the backyard, which way does the smoke always blow? So you go around the other side of the fire, and which way does the smoke blow? It just seems to have a way of following you. Dustin, our grandson, whom we then adopted, and he became our son. You've met Marley, little Marley. She's his daughter. Anyway, he went on a camping trip one time, summer youth camp, came home, and almost every night they'd had a campfire. And when he opened his duffel bag, you'll never guess what everything in that bag smelled like. Yeah, he had been near the fire, but not so with these three. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any other god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Their houses will be crushed into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this. Some final observations here. I don't know if you remember it or not. There used to be an old gospel song that all of the gospel quartets used to like to sing. It was entitled The Fourth Man. You remember that song? It says they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bend. After taking a stand, they refused to reconsider the action they took. Crowds, confrontations, and convenience must not cause you and me to waver in our obedience to God. The instant availability of temptation and sin must be resisted. They wouldn't bow. In spite of the king's rage and threats, they refused to serve his gods or worship the golden image. We got a lot of false gods today that demand that we worship them. Popularity, pleasure, the good life, things. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. They wouldn't burn. Now, we talked about the fact that that fire was so hot that it incinerated the guards that threw them in. I'm told that a Bunsen burner burns at about 600 degrees. A pure oxygen flame burns at about 9,000 degrees. I'm not sure where on the temperature scale that furnace was that they were thrown into. But when the king looked in, they weren't writhing in pain. They weren't burning to ash. They were walking around having a good old time in there. Folks, you and I today are not promised freedom from the flames of life. But we are assured, just as these three were, that God will see us through and will be victorious. A woman was visiting a goldsmith one day, and he was refining some gold. He would heat it up, and then he would scrape off the dross that came to the top, heat it up some more, and clear it off again. And the woman said, "When do you know the gold is pure?" The goldsmith said, "When I can see my reflection." How does God know when we're pure? When he looks at us and doesn't see any stain of sin, doesn't see any issues of attitude, but because we're cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all he sees is his reflection. A lot of times we don't like strain and stress and pressures on life. Suppose you felt sorry for a guitar or a violin or a cello because of all the stress that were on those strings. So because of your compassion, you loosen them all up. Certainly takes some pressure off. But what happens to the music? You see, it's only when life puts a pressure on us and we allow God's Holy Spirit to strengthen us that we can give honor and praise and make music to the God in heaven. People who participate in the Olympics, men and women, spend years in training and preparation. I can't imagine any one of them who's ever received the gold saying, "I wish I hadn't worked so hard." No, that's what it's all about. And the day's coming when you and I are going to hear God say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Trials come in life. But if we will allow them to, they serve to test and temper us. It's during the periods of trouble that God can give the greatest victories. Rather than losing because they obeyed the word of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted to high positions because they acknowledged the true God. Today, on this All Saints Sunday, on this Veterans Sunday, as we remember our loved ones who have gone on before, as we remember those who have served in the military, we need to remember that we too are called to serve. Maybe not in the armed services of the United States of America. I had seriously thought at one time of going into chaplaincy. But at that point in my ministry, I hadn't been to seminary. And I discovered that by the time I got out of seminary, I'd be an old man. I'd be over 35 and be too old to serve in the military. So I accepted the fact that God had another place for me to serve. We need to remember that as servants of God, no matter what God has called us to, even as mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, even as servants in whatever capacity in Rockwood United Methodist Church, in life's furnaces of trials and tribulation, we're revealed, we're refined, we're reaffirmed, and we're reassured. Much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have the opportunity to show the world that God's grace indeed is sufficient. Sometimes it's going to get kind of warm. But allow God to use that heat as a refining process for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather now. We pray that as we gather around your table, that you will remind us that the day's coming when we will all gather around your heavenly table. Not just those of us that are here in this place this morning, but those in the years and centuries before us who have gone on. We'll all have a chance for fellowship there for all eternity. Help us now, Lord, that in this time and in this place, we might hear your invitation for supper time here as we prepare for supper time in heaven. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reminded that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, we're told that he took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you now for these gifts of bread and juice. We pray that they might be for us the body of Christ and his blood, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. I'd like for the choir to make their way down. And as they come and fill up this side, I'd like to invite some of you folks to come forward and fill up this side here. Form a line down the center aisle. We will serve the group at the altar rail. They will receive the bread. Those of you that are serving, if you'll come forward, please.